Blog Talk Radio.
Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing hip-hop, the occult, and the subculture of zombieism featuring Sydney Hampton. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss a show, you can always check us out here on the archives at blogtalkradio.com/109-9PennStation. Don't forget to check out our fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. I hope everybody had an illest weekend just like I did, because I had a dope weekend, y'all. It was so fun. But moving forward, our monthly yoga pose is the dolphin pose, and it's a very, very great pose. The benefits of it are that it calms the brain and helps to relieve stress and mild depression. It stretches the shoulders, the hamstrings, the calves, the arches, and strengthens the arms and legs as well as the core. And it can even help to prevent osteoporosis. So it's a really, really great pose. You should go check it out. All the information about the pose and how to get into that pose are on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. Our weekly affirmation for the day is, I am filled with pure divine love. The angels and my ancestors guide my path, and I give reverence to them. All things are peaceful. All things are still, and I am at peace. Ashe, you can check out affirmations like that and so many more on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, as well as facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. All right, y'all, I know you guys are ready to get into this show. This is going to be an awesome, awesome show. Let me bring him on. City, are you on the line? Peace. City, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, we can hear you. What's up? How are
What's going on? Peace. Peace to all the gods, earths, all of the righteous travelers. I'm City Hampton, representing the mission of this HSDO Lord. Thank you for having me today. I appreciate the time and opportunity.
Definitely, definitely. All right, so let's get right into it. For those who might not be familiar with you, like, who are you? What do you do? Give them a little bit of some background information on yourself.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I'm an artist, composer, producer, and outside of that, well, not outside of it, but I operate in accordance with that, is that I run a company, two companies actually, known as the High Society Dropouts and LORD. They run as a collective template known as HSDO Lord. Pretty much what the company centralizes around is music, media, and also merchandising as well, all composed around a specific mission of being able to push forward a new frame of thought, progressive thinking, progressive actions, and there's a new frame of thinking operating in a new in society at this time, being pushed by music and media.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. So, how would you define yourself as an artist?
Limitless. Pretty much that's how I would define myself. Like I said before, I've been making music for quite some time. I've been an artist for quite some time, well, over the course of about 10 years or so. Originally, I'm from New York, born and raised in New York. Been doing music professionally for about 10 years. I've worked in the music industry for about 10 years. Worked with some, you know, some respectable names, people who have, you know, had some, you know, some good fame or, you know, good success in the music industry. I did my rounds in regards to the acting, you know, acting as a music producer, trying to get placed for some projects, things of that nature. And over the course of the past 6 years, I've worked on an album, coming leading to the release of it. Pretty much at this time right now, known as the Traveling Mind of City Hampton. And that's pretty much where I'm at right now. Been spending the past 6 years just formulating my company, formulating my business, and pushing forward with the mission.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so what genre of music do you create for those who are not familiar? I mean, it's kind of obvious by the title of the show, but how would you describe your genre of music?
Well, by culture, I'm a hip hop artist. I emphasize that, you know, first and foremost or whatever, that I'm a hip hop artist based off of the fact that I live and breathe the culture. But my genre of music, I would describe the music as progressive hip hop soul music. Meaning that it emphasizes the templates of all different kinds of genre music based off the fact that my influences, they span outside of the parameters of traditional hip hop artists. You know, you would hear, you know, the influences of such as people like, you know, Jay, Nas, Wu-Tang, as well as other artists in regards to the conscious aesthetic, Motor Technique, Nonfiction, Roscoe's, but also, you know, soul artists, pop artists, such as Jimi Hendrix, The Smiths, a whole host of different people, The Police, The Prince, even Billy Joel, a whole host of different things. Just trying to do new things with the culture and with the genre and expand it.
Definitely. So what was your inspiration behind your latest project, your latest album, Traveling Mind?
I started working on a project in about 2007. And I was definitely younger than what I am right now. But when I first started working on the project, pretty much what everything centralized around was the idea of just being a young child. You know what I mean? Being a young child, a young ghetto child, the dreams and aspirations of being something greater than what society has projected or perpetuated yourself to be. So in the format of that, one of the path was I started pretty much piecing together like these this collective ideas of episodes of how to release these albums. Travel of Mine is actually a series of albums. The first initial one is this Travel of Mine first project. And then there's another episode coming up from there called I Trust Me. The next one is Heavy Lies the Crown. The final one is Lord, Love Overcomes Reason to Put Out. But the gist of the Travel of Mine was, like I said before, it was just you know, when you're young and you have an indigenous background of African descent and, you know, you live in a society that, you know, continuously perpetuates this kind of idea that you have to, you know, formulate a frame of thought and a frame of being to be able to operate a society, it can kind of feel like a prison. You know what I mean?
True,
and the only thing that you actually have, you know, to be able to emphasize a travel to break out of it is by using the mind. And
which is
very, very interesting right now, you know, because it's, you know, everything about society, specifically now living in the Western Hemisphere in the 21st century, it's kind of like it seems and it appears that everything is about breaking down your ability for you to be able to utilize your mind, for you to be able to utilize your psyche. You understand what I'm saying? So that's really more or less how everything is going.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, what does this project mean to you as an artist?
I mean, to me, it's everything. It's everything. So it means a lot. You know what I mean? Like I said before, I worked on the project for about 6 years or so. So working on the project for about 6 years, you know, it's everything. It's my heart, it's my soul, everything in the gist of, you know, who I am or what I represent as an artist. And also, more importantly, it emphasizes the premise of what the mission actually is and what the mission represents. HSDO Lord is a mission that, you know, me and the gist of about four other individuals were responsible for coming up with after, like, you know, traditionally I was the one that always had knowledge of self. Studied the, you know, the people, studied people ever since I was about 12 years old. And when I first started working on the project, I stopped, you know, getting outside of the traditional parameters of like that, of the system and knowledge of self in regards to the 5% nation, the gods and nerves, and, you know, Nubian nation, following people such as Dr. Malachi of New York. I kind of got out of that and started searching on my own. And was just, you know, reading all these different, like studying all these different math teachers and then just reading the books that they read. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then just started learning like specific areas of discipline and things of that nature. And over the course of that 6 year time span, the Travel of Mind got complete. So that's really more or less what it is. So it means a lot to me because it's you know, this record allowed me to be able to make sense of my life at this point right now.
Yeah, definitely. If you could sum this project up in like one word, what would that one word be?
Hey, you know me. My favorite word is masterful.
I knew it.
You understand? It's a masterful project. Indeed.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. So, how would you describe the sound of this project specifically, The Traveling Mind?
Expansive and experimental. I do a lot of studying. So I listen to different artists such as Prince, like I said, Michael Jackson. Like one of the albums that I studied heavily was Prince, A Sign of the Times, and also Billy Joel's The Stranger. And while I was working on a project or whatever, that's kind of like, you know, outside of the, that's kind of maybe unique when it comes to, you know, a hip-hop artist working on the project. But specifically Prince, A Sign of the Times was an amazing project to me because it was like each record sounded different from the last one. You know, and that was definitely the kind of ethos that I wanted to be able to apply specifically with this project. No one record on The Traveling Mind sounds the same. It's actually, you know, it's like an actual experiment. You know, if you listen to the project, it's like you could see yourself zoning out, and you could see yourself in like my temporal lobes. You know what I mean? Pretty much seeing all of the things that make up the gist of the premise of my personality, that you start, you know, journeying backwards and passing things into the corpus collapsum and getting into the hippocampus area and seeing things that influences, like, you know, my memories and a whole host of different things. So you get to see everything from the joy, pain, traumatization, all of that, you know. So it's the project of a boy becoming a man. That's pretty much what the gist of The Traveling Mind is about.
Awesome. So, I mean, how did you come up with that name, Traveling Mind?
I don't know. It just kind of just came to me. And it really did. It just kind of just popped out of nowhere, like synchronicity. Actually, where I got it from was I was watching a documentary on this jazz pianist by the name of Bill Evans. And Bill Evans had this documentary called The Universal Mind.
Okay.
I thought it was dope. You know what I mean? I thought it was really, really dope because he talked about how the universal mind is, how the universal mind creates like these formats of expression, you know what I mean? Moving to certain things, sound, number, geometry, you know what I mean? Like in regards of that, and how music is an expression of such. And I thought that was really, really dope. And around that same time, I seen this album cover. If you look at the album cover, The Traveling Mind, it's directly taken away from this cover from this old 70s soul group called Slave. And it's a picture of, they have the creator and the Sonny as the compass. Slave, they got the concept of that cover art from a poet and a painter by the name of William Blake, who did a painting called The Ancient of Days. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it just kind of just came. Like, once I had the format and based on what I wanted to do, I just was on and running from there.
Definitely. Right? So, I mean, what is your favorite track, hands down, off this album?
Oh, man. I don't know if I have any favorites. I mean, I love 14 songs on the record. She said, I don't know if I have any favorite. I don't know. I'd probably say Osiris. Between Osiris and Mind of Atomic Gold are my favorite songs.
That's my favorite too. Okay.
Osiris, well, I appreciate that.
I give you permission to have that as a favorite.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. I mean, like, it's a dope track. So why is it your favorite track?
It's my favorite song because, to me, it showcases. The true intent and the power of the African woman, and it showcases the true intent of a man that is in awe and in humility of that power that she has. That's why it's by far like the, you know, like to me, I don't like, you know what I mean. Like, it's one of my favorite songs. I have like different songs that I think are good for different reasons. You know. Like, Osiris and Mono Atomic Gold are, like, my favorite songs of the album. But I would say the most important song of the album is a record called Fools and Babies.
Okay. Definitely.
I know you didn't ask me that question. I just kind of elaborated on that.
Nope, you didn't ask me that question, but it's all right. You all good. You all good. yeah. So you already mentioned some of your musical influences, but could you specify who is your biggest musical influence?
I would say it's a toss-up between Fela Kuti and Prince.
Okay.
Oh, and Jay Dilla. Yeah. Those are the top three. Jay Dilla, Prince, and Fela Kuti.
We said who is your biggest. We didn't say who's your
top. I don't have a biggest. I can't just narrow it down like that.
You have to shoot. All right. You can't. Right.
I'm a vessel with y'all. You know what I mean? I take all the money and put them together.
All right, cool. When you listen to your music, you can definitely hear a compilation of different musical influences spanning different genres.
Right.
And I think that's what makes your music so unique, and it makes it so definitely, I would say, revolutionary in its own right, because it definitely is hip-hop. It's definitely hip-hop, but it's hip-hop on a cosmic frequency. So it's definitely,
right.
You know, something I could rock with. And I know the listening audience could definitely rock with it as well. So we're going to switch over into this next half hour. And before we do, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then we will be right back and we will discuss more hip-hop, the occult, and the subculture of zombieism featuring our lovely, lovely guest, Sydney Hampton. So let's go pay these bills. Hi,
no doubt.
Ladies, it's Israel the Poet. Do you love stylish jewelry but are also health and spiritually conscious? Many stylish pieces contain metals and plastics which can irritate the skin and do absolutely nothing for the spirit. So why not be in style while aiding your spirit? Gemini Creations presents Angel Wings, our newest earring line that infuses radiant feather earrings with angelic spiritual gemstones. So look great while aiding your spirit. To check them out, visit GeminiCreations.com. That's GeminiCreations.com. Like us on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/GeminiCreations. Or you can contact Tay Queen through TayQueen@Hotmail.com. That's TayQueen@Hotmail.com. Peace and blessings always.
Are you looking for a place to sell your products online? Not interested in hiring expensive web developers? Do you love to buy cultural and ethnic products directly from manufacturers? Well, look no further. NewShop.com is the number one online marketplace to buy and sell multicultural and ethnic products. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Get your free e-store, post your products to sell, and make money. Sell books, clothing and apparel, jewelry, bath products, beauty products, health products, accessories, holistic products, even ebooks and downloadable music files. The list goes on. No sign-up fees, no contracts, no annoying product listing fees or confusing HTML coding. It's quick, easy, customizable. Go to NewShop.com for your 9-day free trial today. NewShop.com, the number one online marketplace for multicultural and ethnic products. That's www.newshop. All payments and transactions on NewShop.com is securely processed through PayPal.
The Dick Gregory and Queen Afua Cruise. As a conscious alternative to the traditional Thanksgiving holiday, you are cordially invited to the 2013 Feast of Gratitude Cruise with Dick Gregory and Queen Afua. Call Alicia today at 888-636-5222. 888-636-5222. The Dick Gregory and Queen Afua Cruise. 888-636-5222.
Peace. So we're back on air live discussing hip-hop, the occult, and the subculture zombieism with our featured guest, Sydney Hampton. Yeah, we're back on live. Definitely, definitely. Oh, we have a caller who's had their hand raised for a while. I'm going to check it out and see who it is. Caller from the 917 area code. We're having conversations with the queen.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Shake it.
Well, it's our co-host. our part-time co-host who decides to call in occasionally.
I'm
messing with you, girl. It's all good. It's all good.
I'm so busy.
No, it's perfectly fine. Now, you missed a good show this weekend, though. So slide.
I know. I heard.
Definitely. But we about to get into this topic, so I'm about to chop it up. So, City.
Yes,
ma'am. How do you feel technology has transformed the music industry?
I mean, there's pros and cons to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? For independent artists such as myself, there are a lot of things that that technology has done. It's created opportunities for independent artists to be able to get the music out to you know, a lot of people respectfully. Without the problems of dealing with like the middlemen and dealing with the traditional paradigm of the music industry of how it was about maybe 10 years ago. The traditional paradigm of the music industry is dead. And what's happening is that you have all these, you know, these traditional systems such as, you know, the major label system. They're just trying to play catch up. You know, with the declining sales of CDs, so on and so forth. You have major labels doing new formats of deals. But they don't even sign artists to album deals anymore. You know what I mean? They now, you know, they sign artists based off terms of yearly. So they'll sign an artist for maybe 2 or 3 years. It'd be represented as a composite of what they would consider to be a 360 deal, in which they would take, you know, revenue from every aspect that the artist could be able to generate revenue. And pretty much due to the fact that album sales are down, the majority of the revenue that is actually built outside of touring is based off of licensing and merchandising your records, licensing and merchandising the music, and so on and so forth. Now, if you have an artist or whatever that isn't necessarily, doesn't make records that would fit the format of radio or fit the format of a traditional songwriter, they may have a little bit of a problem with regards to being able to get records licensed and merchandised. Based upon the fact that, you know, in my 10 years of experience with the music industry, I've realized that it's kind of broken down, where you have a major label system, the independent music industry, and then you have, the do-it-yourself music industry. And I've dealt with all of them. Now, I haven't dealt with the major label system as extensive as I liked up until this point. You know, the past couple of months, things have been kind of changing. But in regards of how technology is affecting that, it gives the artists a lot more control of their destiny. But the con of that, if the artist isn't grinding, if he isn't willing to put in as much work as he has to, if he isn't willing to learn as much knowledge as he possibly can in regards to being able to get his art out there to the best of his ability, then he's not going to be heard, you know, because right now music is even though it's a beautiful art form, it's becoming more and more of a commodity. Like, how many musicians do you know? You probably have to count, you know, on both your hands, your feet, your nose, your two eyes, you know what I mean? Like, every organ of your body to be able to apply to how many musicians that you actually know. And it's the same thing, you know. If you could put together a budget of respectable anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000, you could be able to hire a publicist to be able to promote your record for over the course of a 3 month time span. You could be able to get your video on WorldStar, you know what I mean, so on and so forth, and collect about 100,000 views over the course of a day. An artist that came out with a big record, if I'm not mistaken, a couple months ago. I don't know if anybody listened to him. That listened to your show, but artists by the name of Trinidad James, you know what I mean, from Atlanta, made music for about maybe 6 months, and he shot a video, put a video on YouTube, and then paid, about $7,000 so we can get it on the Big Rocks and WorldStar, and then the record became a huge hit, you know what I mean? So it's just about, it's really put control in the artist's hands, and, I mean, that's what it boils down to. It's all in the artist's hands now, and you can get a lot of money now. And at the same time, you can also be able to keep a level of respect and integrity about your art form.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Based off of the fact that you build enough respectable buzz that the major label system, you know, they'll want to do more, they'll want to do business with you more on your terms, opposed from how it was about maybe 10 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago, pardon me, even 15 years ago, 15 years ago, when you had, when you had like, you know, in the major label system, where you had artist development, A&Rs, and even budgets, you know what I mean? The budgets were like a lot more bigger. I know I can name a couple artists that I actually read, you know, that were signing huge labels that, you know, were collecting budgets of about $1 million plus. And now, you know, and it's kind of crazy because, like, the budgets that I recall reading from some of those artists or whatever, like, those artists never came out. You know what I mean? They never released an album. Now, like, you know, $1 million budget is what they would reserve for a person like Lady Gaga. You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, it's all about, it's all about conserving money, saving money, and being able to, you know, create the format for you to be able to, you know, make a budget of about $10,000 to $15,000 of like $1.5 million. And with technology, you can do it. You know, so it's inspiring the artists if they have the, you know, they have the format to be able to do so.
Yeah, I mean, I always say that technology has revolutionized not only the music industry, but the whole form of the entertainment industry, period.
Indeed.
Because it allows people to really become the independent underground artist or the independent underground radio host.
Indeed.
Anybody who's doing their thing to be able to showcase their talent and their art and what they do and to the world. So I feel like the internet specifically and then the whole advance of technology around the internet has definitely unlimited our access to a variety of different options of media sources. Because I feel like, you know, for so long it was just in the hands of the major mass media. You know, if you need to know about somebody, you had to watch the television or you had to listen to the radio. Other than that, the only other thing you could do was get into the underground scenes where people would know people who knew people. You know, other than that, there was no group connectivity or no way to connect people on a mass scale. So the internet has definitely, and technology itself has definitely, definitely transformed that. You mentioned a lot of positive things about how technology has transformed the music industry. Do you feel that there are any cons to technology in music?
I would just say the cons. Well, I feel like the cons more or less they come into play based off of the intent of the artist, based off of you know the intent of the team that's actually backing that artist. Because what happens is that it puts more stress, well, not necessarily stress, but more priorities on you. You know what I mean? If you're like, if you're signed to a major, you know, if you're signed to a label, period, and they have a respectable budget behind you, the people that's fronting you the budget would just tell the artist, focus on the records. You know what I mean? Just focus on the records. Now, if you're in the do-it-yourself music industry and you're applying it from the format of a do-it-yourself ethos or whatever, the artist pretty much finds himself in a position wearing, you know, 5 to 10 different hats. I know I've done it. You know what I mean? And, you know, in regards to actually, you know, being able to promote your work, record, produce, compose, mix the records, then once you get the records mixed, you know what I mean? Once the project is actually done, you know, you actually have the format of regards to being able to book your own shows. And I live in New York, so it's a little bit difficult from that, kind of like that aesthetic. When you're dealing with, like the general managers and things of that nature, some of them have a little bit of a disdain for independent hip-hop artists. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, I use the internet to be able to connect me with different venues outside of the parameters of what would host a show that would allow me to be able to perform at. You know what I mean? Pretty much everything that I've been doing over the basis of finding venues for dates for a respective tour that I'm booking, I've done all of it off of the internet. Pretty much finding out the listings of where they're at, so on and so forth, finding the contacts to be able to speak to the general managers, things of that nature. Being in contact with people such as publicists, everything, pretty much, like, the internet is like the nucleus, you know what I mean? It's like the nucleus, it's like the brain that allows me to be able to get my art out to the world. And you have a whole host of different artists that, you know, we're responsible for being broken on the internet. You know what I mean? Like right now, the blogosphere, all these different blogs are, you know, they are, you know, they're at the will of almost kicking simultaneously DJs and magazine writers, you know, out of their seats. You know what I mean? Completely just eradicating their jobs completely. You know, you have some of these blogs that are responsible for breaking some of the biggest artists in hip hop right now. So, you know, I think what it is, regardless of technology, specifically the internet and how it applies to the culture of hip hop, is that the internet is more or less responsible for like acting as a hub for tastemakers. You know, the internet is the place where, you know, the tastemakers, they find all the coolest stuff. You know what I mean? And then they tell their friends about it. Yo, have you heard about this? You heard about that? You know what I mean? And that's more or less how, you know, everything begins to spread. But at the same time, the con about it is that it's such an influx of people doing music that, like, you have to sift through. You know what I mean? And, like,
the
you know,
quantity
10 to 15
versus
years,
quality.
Exactly. Exactly. 10 to 15 years ago, 20 years ago, if you were a bad artist, you wouldn't even talk about them. You know what I mean? So, like, if you saw like, you know, MCs and they were in a battle or they were in a cypher, you wouldn't talk about the bad one. You would just talk about the one who was dope. You understand what I'm saying? His name would travel. But now it's to the point where it's just like, you know, the one who was just as horrible, he has the same format to be able to express, you know, his art just as much as the person is actually talented. And if the music is that bad, if it's that horrible, you know, he may actually blow up faster than the one who's really talented.
Yeah, he might go viral.
You know what I mean? Exactly. He's like, yeah, you got to see how bad this person is. You know what I mean? So that's how it kind of rocks now.
Definitely. Definitely. So switching the topic a little bit, switching gears more so, do you feel that there's an attack on hip-hop culture?
Now, that's obvious. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's obvious that there's an attack on hip-hop culture. You know, not to get, I mean, I know the radio show that I'm at right now, so first and foremost, I think there needs to be a common understanding based off of the fact that hip-hop is an expression of indigenous culture. You know what I mean? It's an expression, you know what I mean? It's an expression of indigenous culture. I remember watching a documentary, if I'm not mistaken, I forget the name of it. I think it was called The Detective. And, one of the brothers said something to the effect of, he was like, one of the things that, said one of the things that the ancients did, one of the things that the ancients did in regards to being able to show reference to the ancestors was one, is that, I don't know the specific order in which he said it. He said one is that, they deified their completed works, to complete their uncompleted works. Then they leave edifices of them everywhere, leave images of them everywhere, and then you speak their name always. Those four things, you know. Hip hop culture is almost like an extension of that. You know, we worship our heroes, such as like Tupac, Pimp C. You know what I mean? It's the same kind of format. You know what I mean? The MC acts as the griot. The, you know, the DJ, you know, could be synonymous with the drummer. Graffiti could be synonymous with the hieroglyph. You know what I mean? A whole host of different things that actually have a format of expression as such, you know. The problem is that, you know, with the commoditization of the culture, it's the craziest thing in the world, because now the culture is this thing where it's become this commodity that is utilized in regards to being able to keep people of African descent, in my humble opinion. This is my opinion. To keep people of African and indigenous descent.
It's a very good opinion. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. At a frame of thought, you know what I mean, that operates at a very, very low level. You know what I mean? Based off of the fact that these record labels know who they're going to pick and sign and who they're going to push. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I am just like, this is just me and my own humble opinion. I feel like, if, you know, Interscope, you know, the two biggest artists on Interscope Records right now are Kendrick Lamar and Chief Keef. These two different artists that operate, you know, on a complete, you know, different ends of the pendulum. You know what I mean? And it's almost as if it was like, it was a business tactic to be able to like, well, okay, well, just to be able to keep this backlash from what's happening with Keef, you know what I mean? We can sign Kendrick, you know what I mean? And we can be able to, you know, do such things. Now, I think like, it's crazy because in regards to hip-hop culture is so popular and it's so big, you know what I mean, that, like, even as slaves, we still run the world. That's the craziest thing in the world to me. That even, you know, it being showcased, or it be, even the fact that the commoditization of hip-hop showcases us in a deficient state of awareness that we still run the world. You go to Japan.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm
saying?
You got
people doing retarded.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's horrible about that is the fact that, you know, for individuals to be able to travel abroad and to think that, you know, what they see on MTV or what they see on BET
exactly.
Is an accurate portrayal of what the culture actually represents. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's pretty much, that's really more or less, you know, what the problem is right now. The commoditization of hip-hop is really at a point where it's ultimately destroying the culture, because these new kids, these young kids who listen to hip-hop music don't really have any kind of emphasis or understanding of what the culture really represents. And,
the culture's been taken away from hip-hop.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And that's probably, part of my language, the most fucked up thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Based off the fact that the culture, you know, the aesthetic of the culture in itself has been, you know, it's been bastardized, and it's just been utilized to be able to formulate profit. Is one of the things I noticed, because like I said, I studied the game. So one of the things I noticed is that it's like one of the things I hate is when people this and it's the main reason why I do the art the way that I do it. The thing that I hate is when people try to separate hip-hop by premises of genres, saying, okay, this is conscious hip-hop, this is gangster rap, this is, you know what I mean, this is trap, this is, I hate that, because all of it is an expression, all of it is an expression of culture, you know what I mean, all of it is an expression of culture, and in my humble opinion, I feel like it's almost like a lower interpolation of what happened, off of the influence of ancient indigenous culture. You know what I mean? How you know, we would say, well, you know, this is the culture of the Kemites. This is the tradition of Ifa, and you know, this is Yoruba. So on, this is Fudun, the Zaa.
Totally.
You can't compare these deities to these, and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's the same kind of thing, but just on a lower form of interpolation. And I look at it like, I feel that the reason why I was separated was based off of the people who were responsible for commoditizing the culture wanting to be able to commoditize it, and they couldn't commoditize it unless they separated it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, because, you know, prior to that, you would have to put NWA in the same box as PE. Prior to NWA being labeled as gangster rap, you know, you can mention Public Enemy and NWA in the same breath. You know what I mean? Like, you know, this is hip-hop culture. These are hip-hop artists. This is what they represent, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
NWA is speaking about, you know, what they're expressing on their format from where they're at, Compton. You know what I mean? Chuck D and Flav are talking about, Chuck D, Flav and Griff are talking about what they're seeing from where I'm at, Lord's Island. You know what I mean? So it's that same kind of thing. I think the commoditization of it is that caused the separation of how hip hop is expressed sonically as music is ultimately, you know, pushing the culture to, you know, be bastardized in a further to a further dynamic.
Definitely. So, you know, how is hip hop culture? Well, you kind of basically broke down all my extra questions on that one. You're a little long-winded, so I have to keep up with you. It's awesome. Because you're passionate, and you're crazy. You're passionate, and you know, you're talking about things that you really know, and you're giving out a lot of great information, so it's definitely an awesome thing. So what role does consumerism play in all of this?
By far, one of the most pivotal. You know what I mean? Because, you know, what is labeled to be cool is what is consumed. You know what I mean? What I noticed about my own, you know, my 27 spins around the sun, living in the Western Hemisphere in the 21st century, is that Western culture centralizes around the idea of self-loathing and self-hatred. You know what I mean? being able to, you know, to teach people subconsciously to operate at a frequency that showcases the energy of self-hatred for themselves. So therefore, you know, the people that control society ultimately perpetuate the energy that you need to get certain things, or you need certain things to be able to feel whole, to feel love. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether, you know, this culture for consumerism focuses on the idea that you must, you know, have this, you know, this false, you know, piece of paper, you know what I mean, this fiat note, you know what I mean, that really has no worth or value, and with this or whatever, you can be able to obtain all that you desire, all that will be able to apply to the energy that will allow you to be able to love yourself in totality, you know what I mean. For you to love yourself, you need this Bugatti, you know what I mean, for you to feel fly, like, you need these, you know, these Meissen Margiela sneakers, this, you know what I mean, you need this, you know, this Versace, you know, this Versace shirt, da, 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 or whatever. It just so happens that, you know, they utilize people of African descent as the puppets to be able to push that out. Like, if you listen to this new Migos record, it's Versace, 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 Versace. Mm-hmm. Like, he says Versace, they say Versace for 5 minutes straight. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the record, you're going to be like, God damn it, nigga, I want some Versace. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, you don't even got it. You don't even got the money to go buy no Versace, but you going to do something to get this.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And then, like, if you think about it or whatever, it's people of African descent who are the most induced into the culture of consumerism. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They are most induced into the culture of consumerism based off of the fact that, you know, subconsciously we've been taught to engage into an energy of self-hatred and self-loathing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And hip-hop is the format that is used to be able to push the culture of consumerism. Think about it. They use Drake to sell Sprite. I just watched the World Star today. They just named Drake the ambassador for Toronto. He's the ambassador for the Toronto Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of crazy. You know what I mean? You know, you use these people in regards to being able to push their agendas to keep people in the sense of the subculture of consumerism. You know what I mean? Now, you know, on a deeper level, if you want to talk about it cosmically, you want to talk about the purpose of it actually metaphysically. You know, consumerism is an extension of what we would consider to be zombieism. You know what I mean? To have people focus on energy or to apply energy on, you know, things outside of themselves. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to provide them an energy of self-love and gratification. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this subculture of zombieism, you know, you can see it in just, you know, the frame of thought in people of African descent, not just necessarily African descent, but just young people all over the world, specifically right now. You know what I mean? The subculture of zombieism, you know, a perfect place for you to be able to go see it in action is like worldstarhiphop.com. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You watch, like, your weekly vines. You look at the world like, man, these people are crazy. You know what I mean? You can go on Instagram, you go on Facebook, and all you see is, you know, twerking videos. You know what I mean? These young, you know, anybody, like man, woman, child, dog, doesn't matter what it is. I just seen this artist from New Orleans named Big Frida. He just did, like, this thing where he got in the Guinness Book World of Records for hosting this twerk competition in the middle of the city. You had all these different people, you know what I mean, come from all over the city, like thousands of people. I think it was in, like, in Prospect Park. I could be mistaken. Twerking, just shaking their ass.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, don't you, like, if you don't have anything else better to do, you understand what I'm saying, than just to waste their time? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really more or less what it is or whatever. Like, it's at a point right now where hip-hop is being utilized to be able to push this subculture, of zombieism, as well as present itself as a commodity in a modern-day minstrel show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this is it's for public knowledge for at least the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's for public knowledge for at least the past 10 years. It's nothing, what I'm saying is nothing. It's that nobody's been saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, and if they have been saying it, they haven't been saying it on a platform, you know, that it's applicable for people to be able to hear it, you know, on a mass level. And that's what ultimately put the mission of HSD, your Lord, centralizes around. Telling people to tune in, turn on, and drop out. People tune into themselves, love themselves, turn on their minds, and drop out the illusion. Because it's all an illusion.
Definitely.
That is, you know, ultimately being perpetuated as reality.
Definitely, definitely. So let's switch it over to talking a little bit more about the whole aspect of the occult. So what does the word occult mean?
See, I know you know what the word occult means. You're just asking me that so I can say that to them, those who are listening. the occult simply means knowledge of the hidden. You know, that's, oh man, you just said something that was powerful in that question, because the occult and the Illuminati is the word of the day in the hip hop. You know what I mean? That's the word of the day. I mean, if you go on YouTube, that's all you see. Like, it's, you know, Jay-Z, Baphomet, you know what I mean? Don't kiss the ring. Like, people scared to death. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Scared to death. And if you think about it or whatever, that's ultimately a tactic to be able to keep people in fear. You know what I mean? To keep people in fear. And in my humble opinion, it centralizes around keeping people of African descent in fear, because all of the information that we consider to be devil worship and Baphomet, all of that is ancient information that comes from the travels of our ancestors, that comes from the travels of our ancestral link. You know what I mean? We can get immensely deeper in regards to what we talk about for the premise of what we would consider to be the Illuminati. You know what I mean? The Illuminati being, you know, simply means, you know, the illumined, all of this represents those who, you know, those who were wise, those who were illuminated. But, you know, to get deeper on it, you know, what's happening now is that there are clashes. There are clashes of two different schools of light. You know what I mean? That operate on these different operating principles of desire and will. You know what I mean? And the people who are responsible for controlling society are emphasizing desire. That's what they feed off of. You know what I mean? They suck off of the energy of desire. And therefore, they are creating culture that fuels desire, that fuels your desire to be able to go out and seek things to be able to gratify you just for a moment of time. Desire is a fleeting emotion. So, you know, it's nothing that's ever really gratified. You know, once you know, you get it, and then you want more. And then you get it so much, and you're like, you know, you want so much more of it that you get to the point that you say, I must take. And the people who are responsible for controlling the parameters of how we hear music, how we watch movies, how we eat food, how we, I mean everything possible or whatever, are prevalent to this level of understanding that they have to be able to create this system where you force your energy, you give your energy to them, because that's how they survive. You know what I mean? They don't have any energy unless you feed them your energy. You know what I mean? So therefore, they have to be able, like I said, be able to create this illusion, you know what I mean, that perpetuates itself as a reality. You know what I mean? It perpetuates itself as a reality. It just so happens that, you know, hip-hop culture and hip-hop music is a vehicle that they are using in regards to being able to do so. And with the influence of the occult and hip-hop music, this fear of it, this fear of the occult, you know, Jay-Z is a devil worshiper, Beyonce is a devil worshiper, you know, look at this sign, and da-da-da-da-da, and Kanye, and oh my God, the pyramids are evil, you know what I mean? It's pretty much based off the fact that fear is a variation, you know what I mean? Fear is a variation of desire, if you're you know what I mean, like a... and, you know, not only that, fear is also a variation of anger. If a person's desires aren't gratified, they become angry. You know what I mean? So you have all of these different things, and you have different expressions of such, you know, will, love that overcomes and trumps fear, will that overcomes and trumps desire, you know what I mean? And you have these two different classes of light that are battling and going back and forth. Me and you, you know what I mean? We represent, you know, these other classes of people who are listening to this show right now, and you who are hosting it, and me who I am talking, we represent the other class of light. We represent the other school of light that is emphasizing love to overcome any kind of reasonable doubt. We all are lords. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And now it's just the time for us to be able to awaken and be able to utilize all of our missions and all of our art and who we are as people to be able to take over and to be able to completely trump this, you know, this false, idealized world of perception that is used to be able to control us.
Definitely. All right, we got 35 minutes left on the live stream. If anybody has any comments or questions, they're free to call in by calling the number 917-932-8881. If you're already on the line, all you have to do is raise your hand by pressing 1. We're on the line live with C. Hampton discussing hip-hop, the occult, and the subculture of zombieism. So if you want to chime in on that topic, definitely do so. Again, the number is 917-932-8881. And, of course, you raise your hand by pressing 1. All right. So how is music and the occult related?
That's an interesting question. I have my own personal opinion of such. I think that music is magic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like music is magic. Anybody who studies, you know, studies the universal laws knows that the law of correspondence is always working. As above, as so beneath. You know what I mean? As within, as without. And music is a format of such. It's a format of magic, of being able to operate in accordance with the law of correspondence. Even, you know, to get a little deep, to talk about, like, you know, the cultures of, or not the cultures, but the practices of voodoo and, you know, the tradition of Ifa. You know, the ritual, it's like, you know, the ritual is, it's like 50% thought. You know what I mean? Like 50% of thought. And, you know, the action is just, you know, the action that you would do to kind of get you to go along within that process of it. You understand what I'm saying? But it's all based off of, like, I mean, everything is a ritual. Brushing your teeth with a specific frame of mind on a specific thing can create an expression of reality. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens that music is by far one of the most powerful ones, based off of the fact that when it comes to hip-hop, you're using spoken word, you know what I mean, and, you know, spelling, you know, saying words, you know, and spelling, you're casting spells, you know. I said it in a song on my next project entitled I Trust Me. I said I don't drop albums, I drop spells, you know what I mean, and that's really more or less, you know, that's really more or less what it is. I approach every record as if I'm performing a ritual. You know what I mean? Because, like I said before, the law of correspondence is always working. If I send that energy out, then I know for a fact that reality is being created based off of what I put the most energy into. So the musicians are magicians. The musicians are occultists. You know what I mean? They are occultists. Like, if you look at, you know, Lady Gaga, She's performing rituals. Those are rituals. Those are not songs. Those are rituals.
Definitely.
Born This Way. Like, if you watch the Born This Way video, you know, she's talking about, you know, things that are deeply intricate basis of occult knowledge. Talking about the expression of the triple mother god, the triple black mother goddess, and concept of the omniverse, and all of these different things. You know what I mean? People watching, they just think that it's just entertainment. It's like, nah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's master work going on. You know what I mean?
Definitely. So what do you feel the role that mass media has played in the destruction of hip-hop? What role has it played?
I think it kind of goes back to the question that you asked earlier. It definitely, I think of, mass media is just, for lack of a better term, it's just, oh man, it's a system of mindfuckery, off top, part of my language. You know what I mean? It's just a system of that, and you just have to be able to be aware of the fact that you're engaging in warfare. You know what I mean? I think, you know, the whole idea of being a zombie is the fact of you not assessing the world around you. I mean, being a cultural zombie, to say the least. Operating and being cultural zombie, to say the least. You know what I mean? For you to not be aware of the world that you're around. And, you know, mass media continuously perpetuates, you know, these systems, allow people to be able to operate and think at a lower base level. A lot of people don't act or don't think outside of the reptilian brain. And, you know, society, specifically, the culture of consumerism and mass media simply just caters to the reptilian brain. You know what I mean? Fighting, fleeting, fighting, fleeing, fornicating, you know what I mean? I forget what the last F is. But it's subculture, mass media pretty much has catered to that at all times. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So in the news, it's all about fear. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Turn the news, it's all about fear. If you, you know, turn MTV or whatever, it's all about you know, feeding the lower self. The lower self focuses on gratification itself. You know what I mean? And you know, if you watch the news, I was just saying this, it's kind of crazy because you go watch the news and get so down about the news that you turn on reality TV that's based around an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy to me. You know what I mean? They're like, it's like, you know, you turn on what is said to be real in society. You're watching the news. Mm-hmm. You get so bit out of shape about it. You know, you turn on, you know, Basketball Wives, and that's what they call reality. Like, this is reality TV. You know, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And all of that is centralized. You know, being that's an illusion. There's nothing real about that. You know what I mean? They're all actors. They all get paid. They all get their check at the end of the day. And they're all facilitating business on their own accords for their own, you know, respective ventures. You know what I mean? But it's like it's all backwards. You know what I mean? What they perpetuate to say is real, you know what I mean, is the illusion. And what they say is, you know, the illusion, not the believing, you know, is actually real. Real that you could possibly believe in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But mass media is just, they just, you know, it's all focusing on just operating as spin artists. And when it comes to hip hop, you know, when it comes to hip hop, they're about raping the culture. They're about raping it and taking all the life of it that they possibly can.
Definitely. As they do everything.
Exactly.
So we do have another caller on the line, caller from the 219 area code. You're live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Trill Lord.
True, Lord. Yeah, we're shaking.
How you feeling, Lord? I got one of the dopest MCs on the phone with me. I got RDG on the phone with me, Lord.
Peace. We're shaking, Lord.
Man, you know what?
Hey, Todd Queen.
Peace, peace.
Oh, that's Tim. Oh, what's going on, Tim?
That's right, sister Goddess. What's up? We just listening to y'all.
That's what's up, man. I appreciate y'all listening.
I told him we should call on.
Definitely. We appreciate the love.
I got a question for you, Lord.
No doubt.
Lord, can you, like, explain to me a little bit more in depth, you know what I'm saying, the mission, especially in what it is that you're talking about right now, about the preconceived notion by way of perception of what it is that people put out. Please explain the connection of the mission and what's going on in the world today, especially through...
Most definitely. I'm glad you asked that question, Lord. The mission that we are emphasizing is HSDO, Lord, meaning the High Society Dropouts, Love Overcomes Reasonable Doubt. Now, with the High Society Dropouts, pretty much, like I said before, in reference to how that relates to society, the High Society Dropouts focuses on the premises of, this is the mantra of the Dropouts, meaning tune in, turn on, drop out, meaning tune into yourself, tune into oneself, turn on the mind, and drop out of the illusion, drop out of what is being called reality. The mission that is Lord is love overcomes reasonable doubt, based off of the fact that society focuses around fear. Meaning that it focuses around fear and it focuses on desire. It creates nothing but doubt that is enshrouded inside of the psyche as well as the heart. So to be able to utilize true love, to be able to be consumed by true love, by Olu Dumare, by the source, you know what I mean? That allows you to be able to overcome any kind of illusion of doubt that will be responsible from holding you back from what your mission is. You know what I mean? Love overcomes anything. True divine love overcomes anything that could be possibly holding you back. You know what I mean? Me and the Lord 22, we build on a regular basis. And one of the things that we get talked about is the fact that when it comes to your mission, you were driven by this mission. And when it has consumed you, there's nothing in your way that will stop you from getting it done. You understand what I'm saying? Like, and the whole thing about how it specifically relates to the frequency that we all are on operating right now is that we look around the world, we could feel that something is changing. Mm-hmm. We can feel that something is wrong. You know what I mean? We can mm-hmm. feel that, you know, the society that we have been living in has been, you know, perpetuating a lie to us, you know, for hundreds upon hundreds of years. You know what I mean? And what you are seeing is that you're seeing a separation. You're seeing a separation of those who are operating on a frequency to be able to get out of it, and those who are being consumed by their doubts and being consumed by their fears. You know what I mean? So they mm-hmm. therefore they lack the ability to be able to rise out of it. You know what I mean? To be able to actually, you know, truly attain what we would consider to be that lordship. You know what I mean? Those who are operating on a frequency of benevolence and that true will, those who are consumed by that true love of the source, will be able to overcome any doubt that comes their way, to be able to, you know, mm-hmm. achieve and everything that they set out to do in their participation with the great work. You know what I mean? This mm-hmm. all centralizes around the great work. You know what I mean? For us being able to know ourselves and take what we know of ourselves and realize that we are expressions of a force that is greater than us in this dimension, ultimately is us in the premise of our multidimensionality. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. Well, thank you for calling in. Do you have any other comments or questions?
Man, you know, I just want to let y'all know that I support both y'all. Because the mission is the mission, and the mission is to complete the mission. Keep up with the Brother City Hampton, man. We actually working on a couple of things to revolutionize, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? You call yourself Black, Asiatic, African American, or whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? We actually mm-hmm. work on the way. Revolutionize a couple of things to where our people will stay in contact and connect with each other. Like, mm-hmm. man, because like the Lord says, it's all about the mission.
Indeed.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Keep grinding the Lord, stay trill with it, you know what I'm saying? And
already,
peace out, Lord.
We out here.
Thank you,
trill,
Lord, for calling in.
Trill, Lord. Peace, sis.
All right. If there are any other callers who have any comments or questions, please call in now. The call number is 917-932-8881. And if you're already on the line, all you have to do is raise your hand by pressing 1. So you got any last things you want to say about the album, about the topic, anything that you want to wrap up, shout out, events, upcoming projects, all that stuff.
Indeed. The Traveling Mind of City Hampton. I just want to say I want to thank everybody that came out to the show from another time ago on the 28th. I appreciate y'all. Yeah. Love y'all. The show was amazing. Appreciate y'all from the bottom of my heart. We are waiting for the album to come back from mastering as we speak. It was supposed to drop on the 28th. I know those who have been waiting on the project are very, very upset with me. I apologize. It's not my fault. You know
it's
what I mean?
Not.
In the process
how
of
about you?
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? We're waiting for the album to get back from mastering as we speak, and it will be out. You can find it on all of the digital music outlets, DatPiff, live mixtapes. You can go directly to our website, which is hsdo.tumblr.com, and you can be able to get it. It's going to be coming out tonight. It's going to be coming out tonight. So, stay in tune with me, twitter.com/CityHampton, CITIHampton, facebook.com/CityHampton, CITIHampton. Yes, we got a whole host of different things that are shooting up. Be on the lookout for the Rebound video. Be on the lookout for the Osiris video. I have a record with another artist by the name of Isaiah AM. You could be on the lookout for a record of me, him and doing called Growing Love. Be on the lookout for the promo tour, which is the We Are All Lords tour. Featuring some of the a couple of the dates are going to be featuring some artists, some very, 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 very prominent artists in the city of New York as well as outside of it as well. You know what I mean? That's actually going to be the next big thing over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. And just love us, man. Fuck part of my language. Just, you know, follow the mission, keep in tune with this, and, you know, we out here. Last thing I have to say is nothing would exist if ILO didn't create it. Nothing does exist except by way of the all, for the all is and I am, the all shares and I become. You know, shout out to Tay for having me, my brother Bob aside, and everybody at the HSDO Lord Mission. We love
Definitely. And thank you for having me host this past weekend. It was definitely a fun thing for me. It was a cool experience. So thank you for giving me that opportunity, and thank you for sharing this time with us on Conversations with the Queen.
Thank you for having me once again.
All right. Well, peace and blessings to everybody who called in, especially our co-host. Thank you for calling in, and thank you, City Hampton, for calling in and making this show what it was. All right, this has been Conversations with the Queen. You can catch us every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We normally run from about 9 to 10, and we have a host of different topics. Next week we'll be having the lovely Miss Letitia Richards on of PieceOfFood.com. Definitely check her out, and definitely get at the brother of City Hampton. We're going to take it out with one of his tracks. All right, y'all, peace and blessings.
All the darkest nights, watch my ether glow. You say you're acquainted with astral travel. Tell me where you're trying to go. I believe in heaven, God is no hell. So we treat the earth like a hotel. Don't treat a nigga like a simple earthling. The stars that you wish upon are nowhere. She said she never fucked an alien. It was so amazing. She woke up the next morning and had to ask me like what day we in. I ain't playing, stars are constellations. Now she's convinced that we should be studied by Carl Sagan. I don't think we're from here, but you probably believe me. Cause we could bring a channel through and we don't need no TV. I'm convinced there ain't too many other people like me. Cause I've been waiting on someone like you to come and find me. Out here giving light, coming to my orbit. You see a nigga trying to make sense. Baby, coming to my light, I need you in my orbit. Let me shine and let a brighter day come. Ice is over, reach up. But you know you glow like Osiris. And I got nothing for Cleopatra. Tell me what's the queen to a goddess. Night's over, reach up. And you know I glow like Osiris. Like Osiris. And I've been traveling back and forth through this universe, searching for a goddess. And you're looking like
for a goddess, and you're looking like that.